this is going to be the second part of a two-part series, Say Yes to God. We got to mean it when we say yes, because Jesus says in Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If we're going to say yes to God, you got to be willing to say no to a lot of other things. You know what? That's really a big part of what a commitment is. It's not just saying yes, but it's also being willing to say no. Most of us find our lives just way overcrowded with all kinds of things. And the end result of that is we end up overcommitted. We just don't really have much left to offer God. The word no can help you unclutter your life so that you got room in your life to really say yes to God. No is such a powerful little word. See, with that word no, you can actually restructure your life. Oh, yes, you can. With that little word, you can actually change the course of your life. For good or bad, by the way, but you can change the course of your life. With the word no, and you use it wisely, you can get where you want to be in life a whole lot faster. Because it's not just about saying yes. There's also things that we have to say no to. Most today seem to limit God in their commitment by what is left over in their life to give to God. But we should never give the Lord our leftovers. No, we got to say yes to God first and then be willing to say no to anything that would hinder us or keep us from keeping that yes to God. But you know what? With every yes to God, there's an implied no to many things. Here's one example. Jesus said, here's the most important yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We got to say yes to that. That's the most important thing. But you know, the Bible also tells us it's the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of no's that are implied when you say yes to God. Well, the second, when Jesus says the second greatest command is love your neighbor as yourself. And we say a big yes to that. Amen. We want to obey God. We're going to say yes to loving God and yes to loving our neighbor. But here's what Romans 13, 9 and 10 says. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. See, when we say yes to loving our neighbor, we're also saying no to doing anything that would harm our neighbor. We don't speak evil of them. We don't gossip about them. We don't take things from them that aren't ours. Amen. I mean, we don't stand in judgment of them. We don't do anything to harm our neighbor if we say yes to that command to love our neighbor as ourself. No, it's such a powerful word. And I'm telling you, we need to use the word no more in our life, but we don't want to be a no person. Oh, you don't want to do that. That's no way to live. If we focus on the word no, we lose our purpose, we lose our passion for life. Focusing on the word no, it'll leave you faithless, fearful, funless. That's right, I just made up a word. It's a good one. You can use it too. But that's what the word no will leave you with if that's what you focus on. You see, if we become focused on that, we miss out on so much of life that God has for us. We want to be a yes person. No people are always critical and judgmental. They don't enjoy life, and they do the best they can to keep anybody else from enjoying it either, right? And sometimes believers have reduced Christianity down to a list of don'ts. But the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. You see, the list of don'ts Christianity, by the way, everybody's got their own little version of that. But the Christianity that says it's about a list of don'ts, that kills. It doesn't bring life to anybody. We got to be the yes people. We need to say yes to the things of God, and our focus needs to be on yes. If your focus is on no, we end up being pessimistic and negative, always looking on the dark side. We don't want to be one of those that never steps out of the boat of faith. We want to be one of those that's always ready to say yes to God and whatever God has for us. Our focus needs to be yes. Everybody likes to hear the word yes. Can I have a raise? Yes, that's the answer we're looking for, right? Not later, next year. No, yes is what we want to hear. Can I have another piece of pie? Yes. Can I buy a new car? Yes. Or the one I like better. Can we pay cash? Yes. Can I get off this blood pressure medicine? Yes, that's what we want to hear. We like that word, yes. Will you marry me? She said yes. She had no idea what she was getting into, just saying. So, are we doing live services next Sunday? Yes. Are we going to sing your favorite song? Yes, we are. Are you coming to church next Sunday? All right, that's pretty good. I heard them really good right over in here, just saying. They got stronger voices, I guess. Our growth group starting soon? Yes. We need to be yes people. A lot of people have this image of God that is a no God. They think that God just says no most of the time. Like, a lot of people, they just, well, you know, 99% of the time, God's going to say no. Once in a while, he might say yes. I'm telling you that God is a yes God. The scripture says very plainly that our God is for us. He's not against us. God's not looking for an opportunity to say no to you. He's looking for an opportunity to do you good. He is a good God. And here's what the Bible says. He is the God of all grace. Grace is unearned, undeserved favor from God. That's the God we serve. He is a God that says yes to us when we don't deserve it, when we haven't earned it in any way, when we've messed up, when we've blown it. We're serving a God of mercy and grace, and he says yes to us. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." We need to know that the answer to the promises of God is yes. All the promises of God are yes in him, in Jesus. He doesn't make promises that he can't keep. He doesn't make promises that he won't keep. He says yes. Now, I want us to back up to verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Because I want us to just kind of get a little context here of what was going on. And I think it will help us understand how things just happen sometimes in life and the way things go. He says, "And in this confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly, or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no?" You see, the Apostle Paul had planned to come see them again. But a lot of times, things don't work out the way that we think they should. We say, yes, I'm going to do this. But there are things sometimes that are beyond our control. I said it last week. This year has certainly proven that. There are things beyond our control that we didn't plan. We had it all figured out another way. But sometimes things don't work out the way we plan, because we're human. We're not a sovereign God. We're human, and we make mistakes, and we don't know everything. But you need to know this, that our God is sovereign. And he is not a man, the Bible says, that he should lie. And what he says is absolutely true. And when he makes a promise, you can count on it. You can know that the answer is yes. 2 Corinthians 1:18, we'll pick up from where we left off. He says, but as God is faithful. See, God is faithful. He doesn't ever go back on his word. He says, our word to you was not yes and no. He's telling them that the answer was yes. What we taught you, God is able to keep his word, and his word is absolutely true. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Yes. Not yes and no. Here is one of the doctrines of devils of our day. Yes and no. We don't know. Will God answer my prayer? Will God keep this promise that I found in the scripture? Well, yes and no. Maybe so. We just don't know. And the end result of that is a lot of people don't have faith to believe God for anything. It's not yes and no. Paul says it was always yes. And we need to know, when you stand on the promise of God, I love that old song, Standing on the Promises. When you stand on the promise of God, you are standing on a sure thing. God keeps his word, and his word is always true. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. I'm telling you, the answer is yes. We need to know all of the promises. The answer is yes. In the NIV, it says it this way, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. It just gives that amen part a little clearer there. We're saying the amen. God says yes to the promise. We say amen to it. Now, amen means so be it. It means I agree strongly. It means yes. See, my brother just said amen. He agrees with me. And when we say amen to the promise of God, we're in agreement with God. We're standing on that promise. We're believing. And listen, here's the end result of it. He says, to the glory of God. God is not glorified in our self-sufficiency, in our self-made man, and let's try to do it ourselves. God is not glorified in that. God is not glorified in trying to find another way, a worldly way. God is glorified when people stand on the promise of God and say, yes. Yes, I agree, God. Yes, I believe. Like Mary. When the Lord spoke to her that she was going to have a child, this virgin girl, that's impossible. That's impossible. But Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. And I don't know what's impossible in your life, but I want you to hear this. We need to say amen. We need to get in agreement with God and say, be it unto me according to your word. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Let it be to me according to your word. I say yes to the word of God, to the promise of God. That glorifies God. And all of those thousands of promises, they're available to us. And here's the amazing thing. The answer is yes. He is a yes God. He said yes for all of mankind in the biggest way ever when he gave his only begotten son. that whoever believes in him. How do you receive of that promise? It's whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's by grace we've been saved through faith. I'm just telling you, the promises are good, but we got to believe the promises. We got to know that they're for us. Will you save me? He says, yes. Will you save my family? He says, yes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household shall be saved. Will you forgive me? He says, yes, I am ready to forgive. Will you cleanse me? He says, yes, I'll create in you a clean heart. Will you set me free? He says, yes, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Will you restore me? He says, yes, behold, all things are made new. Will you give me the strength to forgive? He says, yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Will you heal me? He says, yes, I heal all your diseases. Will you protect me? He says, I've given my angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I'm just telling you, God says yes to the promises. That's his answer. He's already declared it. I want you to understand this morning. We are not just basing our faith on a positive attitude. This is not fantasy faith where we just kind of dream up whatever we want. No, we're basing our faith on the Word of God, on the promises of God. And the answer of God is yes. He doesn't arbitrarily say, well, you know, I like this guy, so yes. I don't care for you. So, no. The answer is yes. You need to know that. The answer to you is yes. A lot of times people try to misappropriate the promises of God. The promises are to be used, but they're not to be abused. You can't just use a promise however you can dream up. Sometimes people ask, with wrong motives. Lord, will you provide? Yes, he's our provider. But James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And I got to tell you that sometimes people ask, they're asking God to provide, but what's in their heart is greed. They're just never satisfied with what God has blessed them with. As the Bible says, there's a continual lust for more. And I got to tell you, God knows what's good for you, and he's not going to answer that prayer because he knows your heart. He knows our heart better than we do. A lot of times prayers aren't answered because the conditions of the promise were not met. There are literally thousands of promises, and many of them have a condition that goes with them. Here's a great promise. It will go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. How many would like to have that promise fulfilled in your life? I see a couple of teenagers down here with their hands up. The rest of them I don't know for sure. Anybody want life to go well for you? I guess some of you didn't like that live long part. You don't want to get old or something. I don't know, but we all want life to go well. But here's the condition. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You see, a lot of people want to claim the promise, but they're not doing the condition. In fact, that whole concept of honoring your father and mother, it's just kind of been thrown out in this generation. Every sitcom and every bit of culture around us just screams at us that parents aren't worthy of honor. We're not just talking about obedience. No, honor is a matter of respect and treating someone special. And here's the end result of that. It'll go well for you. There's a condition to a lot of promises. But most of the promises only have one condition. And that is that you believe. Believe. You got to believe. Here's the main reason that believers that believers don't believe because they think the answer might be no. You need to get a hold of 1 Corinthians 1:20 and get it down inside of you that he says all of the promises of God in him are yes. Yes. Because as long as you think that the answer might be no, you're always and forever going to be wavering in your faith. And James tells us, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. You got to get to the place where you actually believe that God is good enough and God is gracious enough that in spite of you, his answer to you is yes. Believe. Believe that his answer to you is yes, not yes and no, maybe so, we don't know. I don't know how in the world men with all kinds of degrees, you know, they got all those little letters after their name, get so stupid. And not all of them, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against education by any means, but I'm just telling you, a lot of them, they get so stupid. Let me sum up that doctrine for you one last time. Yes, no, maybe so, we don't know. What is that? That is nothing but doubt and unbelief. No, we got to know that God is for us and that he keeps his word, and every promise in that book is good and it's for us. Jesus said no to people. We talked about that last week. But he only said no to people when they were asking for things that were outside of the plan and will of God. Jesus just had a habit of saying yes to people. And nobody came to Jesus and asked for healing. In the scriptures, nobody came to Jesus and asked for healing that he didn't say yes to. Nobody. I'm just telling you that he wants to say yes. I want to read Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30. It says that Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord." That's a good answer. And then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. You see, it was according to their faith. But because they believed, they received. I want you to understand the principles of God's word have not changed. I believe God is still saying the same thing to us today. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can heal your child? Yes, Lord. Do you believe that I can make a way when it looks like there's no way? Yes, Lord. Do you believe I can supply all your needs according to my riches and glory? Yes, Lord. Do you believe I can set you free from addiction? Yes, Lord. Do you believe I can restore your marriage? Yes, Lord. Do you believe that I can send laborers into the field to bring in a great harvest? Yes, Lord. Do you believe that I am building my church and the gates of hell will not be able to stop her? Yes, Lord. Do you believe that I can heal your land? Yes, Lord. I'm just telling you, we need to get our faith where it belongs and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe." So many promises he's given to us. We just got to get in agreement with the word of God and say, "Yes, Lord, I believe." He says yes to us again and again and again and again and again. Thousands of promises, and the scripture says they are all yes in Christ. Yes, yes, yes. How could we ever say no to such a God? We say yes to God. He says, "Follow me." We say yes. Preachers shouldn't try to sell Jesus. We're not marketing Jesus. Jesus just said, "Follow me." And it was up to that person to say yes or no. Now, if you've read the Gospels, you know that many of them didn't just say yes. They said, Lord, let me qualify first. Let me do this first. Let me take care of this. What about this? And every one of those people, Jesus walked away from them. His followers have always been those who have been willing to unequivocally say, yes, follow me, yes. He says, forgive. We say, yes. He says, when you're cursed, you bless. Yes. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. Put away anger. Yes, Lord. Give thanks in everything. Yes, Lord. Pray for those who hurt you, who mistreat you. Yes, Lord. Love one another. Yes, Lord. Love your enemies too. Yes, Lord. Trust me. Believe in me. Trust me. Yes, Lord. Trust me with your children. Yes, Lord. Give. Preacher's always trying to get my money, Lord. Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. But he says, give. Yes, Lord. He says, serve. Yes, Lord. However you want me to serve. I'm just telling you, we can't say that we're saying yes to God and not say yes to what he tells us. Anything he asks of us. He says, go. Go into all the world. And we say, yes, yes. John chapter 21, Jesus is having breakfast, fish. Never had fish for breakfast. He's having breakfast with the disciples. And he asks Peter, he says, do you love me more than these? And like all of us, he says, yes, yes, you know I love you. He asked him three times, and each time Peter said yes, but he said the third time, he says, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And he was hurt because he asked him three times. But each time Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And I'm just telling you, we have to say, yes, I love you. We also have to say yes to the call of God in our life. And at the end of that conversation, Jesus says to Peter the same thing that began the whole thing. He said, follow me. And my challenge to you today is no matter when you first answered that call to follow him, that you would once again answer that call without reserve. Yes. Because a lot of the problem, the religious culture today, is that we say yes to God, but our yes has been qualified. Yes, when it's convenient. Yes, if it works out. Yes, if there's not too many obstacles, if it's not too hard, then yes. Yes, this one's really ugly, but here it goes because this is right where a lot of us live. Yes, if I feel like it. Yes, if it benefits me in some way, as long as I can see the benefit of it for me. Yes, I'll serve you. Yes, I'll work for you. Yes, I'll do what you ask. If and when. I want to share a video with you this morning from Pastor Wayne Cordero. It's an amazing story. I believe it just speaks to us today. Go ahead and show the video.
Let me finish with this story. We go to China from time to time, and we train leaders. And this time we brought up 22 leaders from the Hunan province, and they rode 13 hours on a train to get to a hotel that they came up two by two in these elevators so as to not draw any attention. And then they got to a hotel room, a little apartment room. It's only about 700 square feet in the little living room, no air conditioning, hardwood floor, 22 sat there. I came in, and when you teach in China, you start at 8 in the morning and you don't get done till 5 at night. You teach the whole day. They were sitting there, all 22 of them, and I looked around and I said, now, if we get caught, what will happen to me? They said, oh, you'll get deported in 24 hours and we'll go to prison for 3 years. I said, you're kidding. How many of you have been in prison for your faith? Out of 22, 18 raised their hands. I thought, no way. And I looked at him and I said, you 22 people, how many people do you oversee? Because they were all of these small group leaders, underground church leaders in the Hunan province. I said, how many, if you counted up all the people under your jurisdiction, how many would it be? And they counted them up and they said, little over 20 million. I said, what? See, we forget there's 1.3 billion people in China. This is crazy. Well, I had 15 Bibles and I passed them out. Obviously, 7 didn't get them. And I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we're going to read it. And just then, one lady handed hers to somebody next to her. And I thought, interesting. Well, we turned there anyway. And as we started reading it, I understood why she gave it away. She had memorized the whole thing. She just recited the whole chapter. When it was done, I went over to her at a break and I said, You recited the whole chapter. She says, oh yes, I've memorized many chapters. I said, where did you memorize many chapters? She said, in prison. I said, you have much time in prison. So I said, but don't they confiscate the Bible? She said, yes. So people bring in scriptures written on pieces of paper and they bring it in. So I said, but then if they find that piece of paper on you, won't they confiscate that? She said, oh yes, that's why you memorize it as fast as you can. Because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take what's hidden in your heart. I thought, wow. Well, after 3 days, you fall in love with these people. And when it was done, I said, how can I pray for you? I'm going to go back to America. You guys have been just so wonderful. How can I pray for you? They said, you know, Wayne, you guys can gather like this whenever you want to in America. We can't. Could you pray that one day we'll be just like you? And I looked at him and I said, I will not do that. Big, incredulous eyes looked at me and they said, why? I said, because you guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you've got to drive more than an hour, people don't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat not only here for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people don't often come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family. We don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that we become like you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you.
I find that video very humbling. Sometimes we in the church in America think way too highly of ourselves. When in fact, sometimes our commitment and our yes has been so shallow. It also makes me very grateful. We won't be sitting on a hard floor next week without heat. I'm very thankful. But it also reminds me of a simpler time in my my own life. As a young man, when I just said yes to God, yes to the call of God, yes to whatever God had, no matter what that meant. And I want to ask you, along with me, make that kind of commitment. Say that kind of yes to God that is without reserve, that is with abandon. We need to remember who we're saying yes to. He is a God who loves us. He is faithful. He is good. And He is deserving and worthy of our trust. You can trust Him with your yes. We don't do this often. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot by any means. I don't believe in that. I just think that sometimes we need to solidify things in our own heart. Sometimes we need to let the devil know where we stand. We need to let the world know where we stand. And yes, God already knows your heart, but He needs to see that you'll say before men. And so I'm just asking you very simply this morning, if you'll give God an unreserved yes in your life, I want you to just stand up. Say yes. 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 Let's pray. You pray in your own way. You just tell God that you mean it. You let Him know that you're serious about this yes. Father, I just thank You that You love us so much, that You're so quick, You're so willing to say yes to us. I thank You for the grace of God and the goodness of God that's been poured out upon myself and upon Your people again and again and again. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Oh, Father, help us to throw away all of the attitudes of the flesh, all of the deceptions of this world that would try to tell us that You are not worthy of our yes. We say yes to You, Father, with all our heart. Lord, we want to follow after You. We want to obey You. We want to live for You. We want to live a life that brings glory and honor to You. And we say yes, yes, yes. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Every Sunday I speak a blessing over you as you go out. And as I think of this blessing, you know what it is? It is just God saying yes, yes, yes to His people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you. And, I'm sorry, I got to say it. Lift up His countenance upon you as He's just giving you a big smile. He's given you a big yes. And give you peace. Amen.